The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has laid hidden from the foundation of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's good we stay on the parables of the kingdom of heaven. Just as we've seen already that God's kingdom, his rule, his reign is coming, yes, is here, is inaugurated in Christ Jesus, and is to be implemented. It does not happen, say, by expectation, certainly not by the expectation of Jesus' contemporaries, and likely it doesn't work, I don't know, it doesn't unfold the way that we expect or anticipate either. There's something I want to push into. I don't exactly know where it will lead, except possibly heresy. I'm hoping not to. But there's something about these images and the kingdom of heaven that I think we don't grasp, and it does different things to us. It pushes us down in any number of dead end streets, I think. But so what I want to say, okay. There's something really interesting here, right? The mustard seed, right, and growing into its full plant, and what we hear there when it grows into this large bush, the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. So here, what are the birds of the sky that come and dwell in its branches? And I think this is a reflection of, I think, a number of parts of the Old Testament speaking of the flourishing of God's kingdom, the flourishing of God's nation, Israel, so as to draw all nations to it, to be sustained and the like. But you see, there's not there a mixing of the nations. There's a bush and there are birds. Yeah? And yeah, I understand. Yeah, Martha is very upset with me now. But no, I haven't even told you what's going on yet. So that has, we have some relational baggage. We have to work out some. So what's the next? Okay, what's the next one? You maybe didn't. I'm trying to be very careful. Okay, but too careful perhaps. The second one, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. Like, the whole batch was leavened, but it didn't then become all yeast. Yeah? No? Yeah? Did it all become yeast? No. There's flour and yeast, and the batch is leavened. I don't know what I want to say. I do know what I want to say. I don't know if I want to say it. We see in God's call of Israel, he's calling a very small nation to him to be faithful to him. And to, we hear, I say over and over again, because I say it over and over again, but to bring God's blessing to the nations. But that doesn't necessarily transform them all into the nation of Israel. They're a small, dynamic people made to embody the blessing of God and bring it to life in the world. Take it to every corner of God's creation. Now, I have to wonder, there's a real tension here. I have to wonder if in the present day, God likewise is calling his new Israel to himself to embody his blessing, to bring his blessing to life in the world. But not everyone yet is going to be part of this new Israel crew. But the new Israel crew has a lot of work to do. The new Israel crew has to be Jesus, but not everyone is yet Jesus. Now, I don't know how this changes our plans for evangelization. Well, I'd like to think that we're going to start and be faithful to Jesus and the scriptural record and the rest. And our plans and the way that we imagine the world and the way that we imagine the church and God's mission will be shaped by that. What am I trying to say? I don't know. I know what I want to push into, but so much of this work I think has to be done personally. Like I hear from a lot of people things like their struggle with, this is so dangerous, what are you doing? Okay, no. So this is Lord. He said, don't say Lord, Lord to me. Okay, so we struggle with the fact that people are not like in the church, quote unquote in the church. We struggle with the fact that not everyone knows Jesus. But I want to say, like, it looks like that's the plan. It looks like that's the plan. I mean, and you can say, well, let me give you further evidence. Okay, jump to Matthew 25. It's the judgment of nations. And in Matthew 25, the judgment of nations, where we get the corporal works of mercy. You know, when did I see you naked or in prison, or remember? And he will say, what you did for the least of my brethren, you did for me. And the brethren are the brethren are the disciples of Jesus. The brethren is the new Israel. So even the judgment of nations, which I say Jesus brought forward in time, so even the judgment of nations in Matthew 25 assumes that not everybody knows Jesus personally. I don't know. What am I saying? I think we have to be less concerned about the breadth of the Kingdom of God movement, like, quote unquote, who's in the church, and instead go focus on the depth of the Kingdom of God movement, which is the total renovation of the hearts of the people that Jesus has summoned to himself. That's us. We're showing up. We need to focus on the restoration of our hearts and lives, and then we have to live totally for God and his purposes. That's going to be the kind of the limit on the breadth, is how deep we go with God and then how committed we are to his purposes. And yes, his purposes are the salvation of the world. But it seems as though there's always going to be, at least until Jesus returns, his kingdom will be based on just simply allegiance to him. But until we get there, it seems as though there is an us and them. But we're the us, and the us is small, but the us is called to be dynamic and creative. And the rest, why do I say that, dynamic and creative? Because we're called to embody the love of God. And the love of God is dynamic, it's pure dynamism, and it's creative. And that's what we have to be. The church is not an institution of social commentary. Ultimately, Right? The church can offer social commentary, but the church is called to embody the love of God. The church is called to be Jesus for the world. Look around you. People need Jesus desperately. Where are they going to get him from? From you. That's the whole point. And they don't then have to become Jesus themselves just because they've heard about Jesus from you. And who knows why that is? Except that God has plans that go well beyond our plans. He wants the total renovation of every human heart. And he's going to use this us and them dynamic for us that we can pour ourselves out as an act of pure generosity, as an act of pure gift. So sometimes we're going to go out there and we're going to love people with the love of Jesus for, you know, perfect, can I say hypothetical here? Perfectly for years and years and years and years. And they're not going to, quote unquote, know Jesus, except in us. But we're not to become frustrated by the fact that they're not, quote unquote, coming into the church. That gives us an opportunity to live as pure self-gift, because we're not even getting that out of it. How desperately we want to get that out of it, because then that would justify our labors. It would justify our efforts. But guess what? The only justification for our efforts is Jesus Christ and being him, to let go of absolutely everything else. And this is when I think we're going to see then the flourishing of the kingdom, when we can embrace that. We can just look at Jesus and do what he's calling us to do, summoning us to do. In all of its kind of nitty-gritty human reality, right? And this is, you know, this is Joachim and Anne as well, right? This is Joachim and Anne, this is Mary, and this is the story of the scriptures, right? God, the greatest moves towards the kingdom of God are humble faithfulness. It's saying yes to God. Saying yes to God and going from there, right? So anyway, there's much more to be said, but I said the scariest part, and I exhausted myself on it. So there you go. Okay. Yeah. The kingdom of God, right? Where is the kingdom? The kingdom is where the king is. So it's ours to give ourselves over to Jesus. He's going to take it. I hardly understand it myself. So if you don't get it, fine. Just look at Jesus. Just look at Jesus. He's the king. Trust him. Follow him. He's doing the work. He's doing it all. Trust him and follow him, and we're going to get there.